Did you know God and Christ command us to follow the doctrine God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us? A doctrine that is absolutely essential and a requirement to worship God and Christ and to have a relationship with them. So much so that the Bible says if we don't have that doctrine, we don't have God or Christ. Jesus Christ goes as far as telling us that we worship him in vain if we teach for doctrine the commandments of men. In other words, if we teach the words or commandments of men over the Ten Commandments, we are wasting our time worshiping Christ. Many false ministers now teach that God and Christ's doctrines are different, and that the doctrine Christ taught is not the same doctrine that God taught. So are we to believe that the Father and the Son operate in disagreement and oppose one another? So why is it that you never hear of this doctrine we are commanded to follow by God and Christ, never, if very seldom at the very least, ever preached? Is God's doctrine different than Jesus Christ's doctrine? Let's examine the Word of God to find the truth about the only true doctrine we as followers of Christ and God are commanded to follow. Let's begin by going to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. That's spelled D-E-U-T-E-R-O-N-O-M-Y. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So God is saying that he has a doctrine, and that particular doctrine shall drop as the rain, and his speech, meaning his doctrine, and the words that come out of his mouth in relation to how we are required to worship him and obey him. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. And as we continue, you will see that God requires that we worship or follow the doctrine that he gave to Jesus Christ to give to us. He doesn't want us to follow any other doctrine but the doctrine that he gave to Jesus Christ to give to us, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments and the Bible as a whole. And the reason he does that and he requires that is because he understands that if you're not operating on a sound Bible-based doctrine, you're much more susceptible to be deceived and led astray by other doctrines that don't support or fall in line with Scripture. So that's why he requires us to follow his doctrine. No other doctrine but his doctrine. And as we proceed, you will see clearly what that particular doctrine is. Let's continue by going to Proverbs 4, 1 through 4, as it states here. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, emphasis on understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. So it's evident that that particular good doctrine, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments and the Word of God as a whole, is based on keeping the Ten Commandments. That is what the law is. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. So we see here that that particular doctrine is based on keeping the Ten Commandments and the Word of God as a whole. That will become clear as we continue. So that, you know, that is what the God's doctrine is based on, keeping his Ten Commandments and his Word. And once again, he requires that we follow that doctrine and no other doctrine. To follow any other doctrine is a form of rebellion. God views it as a form of rebellion, and Christ, because of it, Christ goes as far as telling us that any man who teaches for doctrine the commandments of men is worshiping him in vain. And as we continue, that will be made clear. Let's continue to Isaiah 28:7. Isaiah 28:7 through 10, verses chapter 28, verses 7 through 10. As it states here, but they have erred through wine, that's symbolic of false doctrine, and through strong drink, symbolic of false doctrine, and are out of the way. In other words, they don't walk the righteous path, because the righteous path is defined by keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. And because they don't have that, they're following false doctrines that don't line up with the doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give us, which is to keep the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. So they're teaching other things like salvation by grace through faith and things of that nature. And that particular false doctrine basically tells you that all you need to do is accept Jesus Christ verbally without any change in behavior. You don't have to worry about sinning or obeying the Bible. You can sin as you choose because you're under grace, and you know, there's no longer a need to follow the Ten Commandments in the Bible, which is completely unbiblical. And I've covered, you know, produced and recorded different audios, basically breaking it down and just, you know, pointing out the ridiculousness of that particular theory and teaching. But let's continue. As it states here, let's start over. Again, that's beginning in verse 7. But they have erred through wine, a false doctrine, and through strong drink, false doctrine, and are out of the way. The priest and the false prophet, the false priest and the prophet, false prophet, have erred through false doctrine, or strong drink is symbolic of false doctrine. They are swallowed up of false doctrine. They are out of the way through false doctrine, strong drink. So they're out of the way, and meaning that they don't walk the righteous path, or walk a righteous path, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible, because they reject the Ten Commandments in the Bible and teach that all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ verbally. And, you know, and everything's done for you, and you don't have to worry about obeying the Ten Commandments in the Bible because you're under grace. And, you know, the shed blood of Jesus Christ has covered your sins. So, you know, your past sins and all your future sins, so you don't have to be concerned about being focused on not sinning. You can just basically sin freely. Let's continue. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. In other words, they're blind spiritually. They can't properly interpret the Bible because they don't follow the Ten Commandments and the Word, the Holy Bible as a whole, which is essential to receive the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to properly interpret the Word of God. You'll always be in darkness and completely misinterpreting the Bible and just basically screwing it up and teaching false doctrines that you have now that encourage you to sin against the Ten Commandments and the Bible, and which is producing the gross, widespread religious hypocrisy that you see in society today. Let's continue. For all tables are full of vomit. The vomit is symbolic of the lies and the false teachings that they teach, so that there is no place. And but it goes on to say, okay, let me start that over. For all tables are full of vomit. The vomit, once again, is symbolic of the lies and the false teachings and filthiness. And the filthiness is a result of the false teachings. The false teachings are encouraging rebellion against the Ten Commandments in the Bible, and it's producing widespread religious hypocrisy and the widespread sin and rebellion against the Bible and the Ten Commandments that you see in society today. Just gross rank hypocrisy, gross religious hypocrisy, and abominable sinful behavior is the result of them teaching these false doctrines, is basically what's being emphasized. So it goes on to say, in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Obviously, once again, this is in relation to doctrine. It goes on to say, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So it's emphasizing here, those that are made to know and understand doctrine are those who are weaned from the milk. In other words, they have a deeper understanding and knowledge of the Word of God because they keep the Ten Commandments in the Bible, and they understand the importance of doctrine. They're not deceived into believing that all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ verbally, which is a requirement also, but that alone dictates that you are deemed righteous in God's eyes. You have to put in the work also. And that involves keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. That's why Christ tells us in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 that a man is required to live by every word that proceeds out of the Word of God, and not to subsist on bread alone. So we're required to, you know, live by the Bible as a whole and the Ten Commandments, which is a part of that Bible. So let's continue to Isaiah 29:24. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understand, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. This is, once again, emphasis on doctrine. What doctrine is he talking about? The doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give us, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. And that is a verse that is yet future. Basically what Isaiah is saying, the time is coming when those who erred in spirit and they that murmured shall learn true doctrine. In other words, those who were led astray by false doctrine, and they erred because of it in spirit, shall come to understand, and they that murmured shall learn true doctrine. That's how they basically should read, or God's doctrine. Let's continue to Jeremiah 10:8. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Just emphasizing once again, and this is in relation to any other practice or religious practice, or that calls for you to conduct yourself in a certain way. It says that those particular practices are altogether brutish and foolish. They are a stock. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. In other words, it is cultivated, motivated, and created by vanity, pride, and ego, things of that nature. Let's continue to Matthew 7:20-28. As it states here, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What rock is that? Sound Bible-based doctrine. Because when you're focused on following that doctrine, nothing else can come in, and no one can come in and tell you that, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ verbally, and you can do what you want to do, because you understand doctrine, you know the Bible, and you know it's not lining up with Scripture at all. So you're established, and your feet are standing on that rock, which is sound Bible-based doctrine. And those are the sayings that Christ is talking about, the doctrine that he taught, which is based on, once again, keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. It goes on to say, and the rain descended, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Upon a, what rock again is that? Sound Bible-based doctrine. Because these individuals know the Bible. They know the importance of keeping the Ten Commandments and the Bible as a whole. They're not deceived. When deceptions come, they're standing firm in their beliefs, because their beliefs are based on and founded on the rock, which is sound Bible-based doctrine. So they cannot be deceived, and they're also faithful in believing and understanding that God has their back no matter what the situation may arise. And because they're versed in his word, they walk in faith, and their feet are standing on the rock, which is sound Bible-based doctrine. Let's continue to verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. All right, now, Jesus Christ, in verse 22 says here, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So Christ is saying, when he comes to establish his government, and he returns, many people are going to come to him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus Christ says, he's going to tell them, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I don't know you. Who are you? And he goes on to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, get away from me, is what he's saying. So he's going to tell these individuals who thought they were putting in all types of works for Jesus Christ, because they didn't follow his doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us. Because they didn't follow that doctrine, Jesus Christ says he's going to tell them, I don't know who you are. Who are you? I don't even know you. Get away from me. As a matter of fact, go over there and stand in line. The judgment is about to begin. We'll find out what you was really about here momentarily. That's basically what it's going to amount to. So, that's something else. Do you want to be in that position when Jesus Christ returns, and you thinking that you didn't put in all types of work for Jesus Christ, only to be told by Jesus Christ that he doesn't even know who you are? And furthermore, he tells you, get away from me, because, you know, get out of my face. I don't know you. What you over here for? You don't know me, and I don't know you. That's pretty much it in a nutshell, you know. That's what he's going to tell these individuals. And they're going to be thinking that they didn't put in all types of work for Jesus. But Jesus says he's going to tell them, I don't know you, and get away from me. Why? Because they rejected God's doctrine, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. Let's continue. And once again it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What is the rock? Sound Bible-based doctrine. And the rain descended, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Once again, sound Bible-based doctrine. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Once again, doctrine. What doctrine is that? The doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to the people. Let's continue to John 4:24. As it states here, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what is that talking about? What does it mean? What it's saying is that when you follow the doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you worship him. When you worship him in spirit, that is to worship him in spirit, once you receive the Holy Spirit, because you are obedient to the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. Then you also worship it in truth, because the doctrine is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit that John is speaking about, and the truth is the doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us. And that is basically what that is talking about. Let's continue to 2 John 9:11, as it states here, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So, once again, and John is telling us here that if the individual doesn't have the doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give it to us, God's doctrine, he doesn't have Christ. And he don't have God. You know, you don't have God, you don't have Christ. It's automatic. You can't have one without the other. So he's saying that if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't abide, rather, in the doctrine of Christ, meaning if you don't have it, you don't follow it, you don't have God. He goes on to say, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. What doctrine of Christ is that? The doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us, and that will be confirmed here momentarily. He says, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, emphasis on doctrine. What doctrine is that again? The doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Let's continue to Matthew 15:7-9. Again, that's Matthew 15:7-9. As it states here, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth near unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's Jesus Christ. All right, those are Jesus Christ's words. He's calling them hypocrites. Why? Why is he calling them hypocrites? Because they are not following his doctrine, the doctrine that God gave to him to give to us. If you're abiding and operating outside that doctrine, you're considered a hypocrite, because you're rebelling against the word of God and the Ten Commandments. So you are just a hypocrite, an individual who's claiming to be a servant of God, but you're not doing what God says and what Christ says. He goes on to say again, in verse 8, this people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And how often have you seen that? Individuals talking about the Lord, Lord, praise the Lord. You know, and engaging in some of the most hypocritical behavior me personally, I've ever seen. It goes on to say, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. So Jesus Christ is telling us, you're wasting your time worshiping them. If you're teaching for doctrines the commandments of man, you're wasting your time worshiping them. It's just a waste of time. And that's not surprising, because Jesus Christ just told us earlier that when these individuals approach him, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works and cast out devils and so on and so forth? And Jesus Christ is going to tell them, I never knew you. Who are you? I don't know you. And he's going to go on to say, depart from me. In other words, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, but yet these people are going to think they didn't put it all types of work in for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to tell them, yeah, listen, I don't even know who you are. Why are you even over here? Get away from me, you know. All right? Because I don't know you. Do you want to be in that position? Let's continue. And remember, he also told us in just a second here. He also told us in 2 John 9:11 that if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. All right. And many false ministers will say again, look, he said it's the doctrine of Christ. This is Christ's doctrine, which is not supported by the scripture, by the Bible at all. I'll, you know, dispel that lie here momentarily. But many individuals are going to be saying, you know, because of this here, he says, you know, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So many false ministers, they said, take that one snippet and say, see, he's talking about Jesus Christ's own doctrine. He has a separate doctrine promoting the line that God and Christ operate in opposition to one another. It's just ridiculous. You know, once again, as a result of false, unlearned ministers applying their own personal interpretation to the Bible, they're not being led by God's Holy Spirit because they don't keep his commandments and word. So they can never come to a true understanding of God's word. So they operate based on applying their own personal interpretation to the word, and therefore screwing it up every time. All right? This is what's happening. Now let's continue. Let's continue to Matthew 15:16-18. Matthew 15:16-18. As it states here, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed, in other words, you eat it and you poop it out. But it goes on to say, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man or make the man filthy. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, a violation of the Ten Commandments, adulteries, a violation of the Ten Commandments, fornications, a violation of the Ten Commandments, thefts, a violation of the Ten Commandments, false witnesses, a violation of the Ten Commandments, blasphemies, violation of the Bible. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So Christ is saying this is what corrupts a man. He's speaking in the spiritual context here. This is what corrupts the individual spiritually. You know, you can't be corrupted spiritually by what you eat, is what Christ is emphasizing. Or what you drink, or even what you smoke for that matter. That can't corrupt you. But what corrupts you now, if those things result in you breaking the Ten Commandments in the Bible, then that's a problem. That's when the spiritual corruption comes into play. All right? So what Christ is telling us, the things that corrupt individuals is breaking the Ten Commandments. And that's not surprising when you consider Revelation 21:7-8, you know, covers those particular sins and which most of them are speaking about violations of the Ten Commandments. And individuals who engage in that are going to be cast into the lake of fire. So breaking the Ten Commandments and the Word of God as a whole results in destruction spiritually. It goes on to say, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You know, and Christ had to basically tell them that because they were trying to condemn the disciples because they weren't, you know, they were eating without washing their hands and this and that and the other. And Christ was like, that, you know, that has nothing to do with spiritual cleanliness. You know, the lying, the murdering, the adulteries, the fornications, the thefts, the bearing false witness, that is what corrupts the man spiritually, not whether he washes his hands or not before he eats. Okay, let's continue to Matthew 16 through 12, or 16:12, I should say. Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So Jesus Christ had earlier mentioned about the bread and the loaves, how they had fed many people with the bread and the loaves and this and, you know, and that and the other. And he went on to start speaking about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they thought he was still talking about bread, but Jesus Christ is basically telling them about to avoid the doctrine, beware of the doctrine, because the doctrine was basically watered down the Ten Commandments, and it was drowned out by the ordinances of men, and they were teaching those ordinances of men over the Ten Commandments, and while they're drowning out the Ten Commandments, and he was warning his disciples, beware of that particular doctrine, because following that doctrine can get you destroyed, because it's not emphasizing obedience to the Ten Commandments, and because it's not emphasizing obedience to the Ten Commandments in the Bible, you're more likely to rebel against the Ten Commandments in the Bible, which can result in you being condemned and destroyed spiritually when you judge. Let's continue to Mark chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. Again, it's Mark chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. As it states here, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Once again, this is Christ talking. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye uphold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. Full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Once again, Jesus Christ is telling us, if you teach for doctrines the commandments of men, you're worshiping him in vain. You're wasting your time worshiping him. You see how all this ties in together? The individuals coming to Jesus Christ saying, have we not worshipped you? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? And he's going to say, get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. I don't even know you. Who are you? Why are you acting like you know me? You don't know me, and I don't know you. Get away from me. That is, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Don't come over here acting like you know me. it's basically what it amounts to. And he's going to tell them, get away from them. And you see how that correlates and lines up with 2 John 9:9-11, where he says, if the individual doesn't have the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. All right? The doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. Let's continue. Let's go to John chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. John chapter 7, verses 14 through 16, as it states here. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So Jesus Christ is telling the Jews that this doctrine that he's teaching, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible, God gave it to him to give to them. All right, so they're not teaching a different doctrine, contrary to what these false ministers teach. Jesus Christ is not teaching a different doctrine. He's making it plain here that the doctrine, this doctrine that I'm teaching you, which is based on keeping the Ten Commandments and the Bible as a whole, in conjunction with works and faith, that particular doctrine I got from my Father. My Father gave me this doctrine that I'm teaching to you. My Father gave it to me. This is not my doctrine. This is the doctrine that God gave to me to give to you. All right? Now let's continue. If any man will do his will or God's will, he shall know of the doctrine. Emphasis on that doctrine once again. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, what he's saying, if any man will do God's will, he shall know of if the doctrine that Jesus Christ is teaching came from God or whether Christ is just speaking of his own accord. In other words, you know, if the individual is doing what God says, by keeping the Ten Commandments in the Bible as a whole, it'll be easily to discern that Jesus Christ is speaking on behalf of God, because the doctrine that they follow is the same doctrine that Jesus Christ is teaching. And they know that it's not coming, Jesus Christ is not speaking of his own accord. That doctrine is coming from God. It's basically what Jesus Christ is saying. Goes on to say, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And you see that with so many of these false ministers, you know, teaching these false doctrines. They seek their own glory. They want to be praised by the people. They don't want to give God the credit and the glory. They want to be glorified. You know, these brilliant, wise teachers, as they misinterpret the Bible at every chance that they get, because they're not being taught by God. They operate outside the boundaries of righteous behavior, which is keeping the Ten Commandments and the Bible as a whole. And when you do that, you're not getting revelation from God. You're actually getting it from Satan. That's why they're teaching false doctrine consistently and continually, because they're not being taught by God. That's why they twist the word of God up so much, because the revelation is coming from Satan and not from God. To be a fellow member of the household of God, you have to keep the doctrine of that God gave to Jesus Christ to give us, which is keeping the Ten Commandments and the Bible as a whole, while being filled and or led by the Holy Spirit, you know, doing good works and bearing fruit. That's how you become a member of the household of God while dwelling in this physical body here on earth. Outside of that, if you're not doing that, you're not a member of that household. You're operating outside of that body, that household. That's why they completely twist the word of God so often, because that revelation is coming from Satan and not from God. Let's continue. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So Paul is saying, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. How were they the servants of sin? Because they didn't obey the doctrine that was delivered unto them previously. What made them servants of sin is because they were transgressing the Ten Commandments in the Bible. They're no longer servants of sin because they now obey that doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to them. That is what he means. All right, let's continue to Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. As it states here, I beseech thee, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For such are they which serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple or the ignorant. So Paul is saying, listen, that doctrine, he's speaking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us. He's saying, if the individuals come, you know, be on the lookout and beware. In other words, them which cause divisions, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, which came from Jesus Christ, as God gave him the doctrine to give to them, and avoid them, Paul is saying. He says, because they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They only serve their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And you see that often. These son of guns, you know, they speak well, they talk well, they're convincing, you know, but what they really amount to is just great motivational speakers, not really teachers of the word of God. They're great, you know, they can be, you know, pretty good at being, you know, delivering motivating speeches, but in terms of really teaching the substance of God's word, they're not good at that at all, to be frank, because they're teaching a false doctrine, and that false doctrine is riddled with biblical errors, because the revelation is not coming from God, it's coming from Satan. Let's continue to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. As it states here, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So Peter is saying, it would have been better had they not known about the Holy Commandment or the Ten Commandments, rather to have come to the knowledge of it and then turned from it. Why? Because it leads to destruction when you do that. When you have that knowledge and you turn from it, that's going to lead to destruction. When that knowledge is provided to you and you understand it's a requirement, but yet you, and then you follow it for a period, and then you depart from it and go back to sinning, and let that leads to destruction. It'll be made clear here momentarily. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. As it states here, as also in all his epistles, speaking about Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. In other words, some of Paul's epistles, you know, his teachings and writings, or writings, I should say, are hard to be understood by some people, because they're not, you know, they're not really knowledgeable about God's word. So he'll hear Paul say something about, you know, they'll take like Romans chapter 6 completely out of context, for example, because they don't understand how to allow the Bible to interpret itself rather than applying your own personal interpretation to it. So they'll take some of Paul's teachings and epistles, I should say, and out of context and apply their own personal interpretation to it, rather than allowing the Bible to interpret itself. So in that regard, it goes on to say, these things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, they're unlearned and they're unstable. They wrestle with these things, as they do also the other scriptures, and they do that to their own destruction. Spiritual destruction is what it is talking about. Okay? Just supporting, 2 Peter 2:21. Goes on to say, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, referring to these individuals as wicked. Why? Because they transgressed the Ten Commandments in the Bible. When you transgress the Ten Commandments in the Bible, you're considered wicked in God's eyes, especially if you're just blatantly trampling over it. You know, you're not giving any regard to God's commands as it relates to not lying, not stealing, not bearing false witness against your neighbor, not committing fornication or adultery, to honoring the Sabbath, you know, to not covet. You're not giving any consideration to those things or the Bible. You just transgress it and walk all over it like it's nothing. That is considered wickedness, and that leads to destruction when judged. Make no mistake about it. And you have a lot of these individuals. Many of these individuals, unfortunately, are gay ministers, bisexual ministers. You know, so they get in, and they're teaching these doctrines intentionally to lead people astray, because they know what their fate is. They know what their fate. Many of them know where they're headed. So they'll teach others these false teachings, encouraging them to rebel against the Ten Commandments in the Bible, because they're doing it, and in many cases in abominable ways. These individuals are actually engaged in homosexual behavior, bisexual behavior, lesbian behavior secretly. You know, so they'll encourage you to do it, you know, telling you that, you know, these things are okay. God loves everybody. You can do what you want to do. None of that is consistent with God's word. There's a certain behavior, level of behavior that you have to adhere to be considered righteous in God's eyes. It's all about behavior. It's all about behavior. Let's continue. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away what? From the righteous path. Led away with the error of the wicked, with their error, the false teachings, twisting God's word, taking it out of context, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now they'll take that one snippet in 18, but grow in grace, and they'll run with that and say, see, you just grow in grace because you're under grace. You don't have to worry about sinning. You don't have to worry about obeying the commandments. Ten Commandments, you don't have to worry about obeying the Bible because you're under grace. So this is what they'll teach you. They'll take that one snippet and take it out, completely out of context. But what that means is that the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because he shed his blood for us, we're now in a position where when we sin, we can come to God in prayer asking for forgiveness for the sin. We don't sin willfully, you know, but stumbling on occasion is a part of the Christian walk. There are going to be times that you stumble, you know, but we're not out here sinning willfully. You know, there may be a time when you're getting out, you know, somebody upsets you so much that you may, you know, say some unsavory words, you know. And, you know, so you ask for forgiveness, and, you know, you work to ensure that never happens again. Christ's shed blood forgives you for the transgression, and then you work to continue to overcome the sin, whatever it may be. You may have a problem, anger management problems. You may have a problem with sex, well, with lust, like a sexual addiction or something. You may find yourself, slipping up from time to time. But you go to God in prayer, ask for forgiveness for the thing, and then you work to ensure that you work to overcome the sin, ensuring that you never do it again. That's how it operates. But you don't sin willfully and openly, thinking that because Christ shed blood, he shed his blood, gives you the right to do so. And that is a completely satanic lie. And if you follow that lying from Satan, that lying doctrine, you'll find yourself destroyed when you face God in the judgment. All right? So you see here how the Bible interprets itself, confirms itself, and justifies itself over and over and over again. Now, we're commanded and required to follow the doctrine that God gave to Jesus Christ to give to us, and that they don't have different doctrines. Christ says that the doctrine that I teach you came from him that sent me, or came from God. He doesn't have a doctrine that's separate from the doctrine that God gave him to give to us. They both teach the same doctrine. Jesus Christ's doctrine is God's doctrine, because that doctrine, God gave him that doctrine, his doctrine, to Jesus Christ to give to us. Once again, you see how the Bible interprets itself, confirms itself, and justifies itself over and over and over again. Don't believe me? Believe the word of God. Do not believe me. Believe God's word. My name is Donald Bohannon. Thanks for listening.